The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, Marwan Barghouti is arguably the most prominent Palestinian prisoner and has been in an Israeli prison since 2004. His son, Arab, has been campaigning on behalf of his father, and he joins me in the studio. Arab, you're welcome, and welcome to Ireland. Your father was imprisoned in 2004, as I mentioned. He was found guilty of five murders, attempted murder, membership of a terrorist organisation. The Israelis say he's a terrorist, isn't that right?
Yeah, the Israelis say anyone who says no to the occupation as a terrorist. This labelling of terrorism is a colonial language. It doesn't mean anything anymore. Nelson Mandela was labelled a terrorist. My father is a politician. He's part of Fatah. Fatah was the party that went for the Oslo Accords, accepted the coexistence with the Israelis. And he was the Secretary General of Fatah in the West Bank. And as a parliamentarian as well, he was voted as a parliament member. And his role was to lead the people, and he told the people to go to the streets. He demonstrated, he was in every demonstration, and he became the face of the Palestinian uprising in 2002, between 2000 and 2005. And that's why they wanted to silence him. They wanted to put him in prison because he had become a really effective leader. Mm-hmm. And of course, it was a kangaroo trial, and these are not my words. The Interparliamentary Union report says that it would be impossible to say that Marwan Barghouti has been given a fair trial.
Okay, so do you and he deny that he's guilty of those charges?
Of course, he's a politician. Again, he wasn't involved in military actions. And again, if you go to the specifics of that trial, the judge called him a terrorist from the beginning of the trial. So there was no
Before any evidence was heard.
Yeah, before.
You were 11 at that time when he was jailed, and you were there on the day he was sentenced. Is that right?
Yeah, I was. And I remember that day very well because it was, I had a traumatic experience because I was attacked by an Israeli settler at the courtroom while I was like 13 back then, because when he got arrested, I was 11. And that was just the start of this journey that I had to live with my father being away from us, not being there in any occasion of my life. And, you know, this is very important to talk about because the day-to-day of the Palestinian life is way more important than to talk about the politics and mm-hmm. all of that. These are the details that matter.
Have you been able to see him?
Yes, I used to see him like once every 2 years, sometimes 3 years, but I haven't seen my father in 4 years. And I haven't been able to hug my father in 24 years, which is since his imprisonment. He's never met his 6 grandchildren in his life. And we're campaigning for him to change that. We're campaigning for all Palestinian detainees because everyone lost their minds on Israeli captives, mm-hmm. but no one is speaking on behalf of these innocent people.
And you believe in recent months he's been assaulted a number of times?
Yes, he has. Since October 7th, he was put in solitary confinement as part of the collective punishment policy against the whole of the Palestinian people. Obviously, he had nothing to do with it. But he was put in solitary confinement and he has been assaulted 10 different times. The last 3 times, we learned about them from the lawyer visit, who's the only one who can go and see him, which is every few months only. He learned that on March 24th, he was assaulted. On March 25th and on April 8th, one of them, they used a dog. They put him on the ground and they led the dog to start kicking him with his paws. Another time, they assaulted him to the point where he was bleeding for hours, asking for medical treatment with no medical treatment there. And it's worth mentioning that almost between 90 to 110 Palestinian detainees have been killed inside Israeli prisons in the last 2.5 years. If that was happening to Israelis, everyone would lose mm-hmm. their minds.
And when there was the deal, the hostage deal that was struck and there were prisoners released, you were hopeful at that time that your father would be released. And indeed, some prominent Israelis were campaigning for him yeah. to be released at that time, believing that he could be instrumental in helping to negotiate a peace. And I mentioned when you came into the studio, Gershon Baskin, who seems to be a supporter of your father's campaign for release. Why do you think it was that he wasn't included on that list at any time?
Yeah, not only that list, in the last 15 years, more than 800 Palestinians have been released with life sentences from prison during, you know, exchanges like this. But they always insist on keeping him. And we have to ask ourselves why. Because he's not a security threat. Everyone knows that. But he's a political threat to the current Israeli government's objectives, which is the full dominance over the land, the expansion of the Israeli state, occupying Lebanon, occupying Syria, bombing different countries with impunity. And I think that they understand someone like him, who's a unifying figure, could put them, you know, has the chance to put them in the corner, that we can't keep the same excuses. The Palestinians are now unified. They have a legitimate leadership, and we've been missing legitimacy in our leadership in general. And he can bring that. He can bring a democratic renewal. He can bring a different type of leadership that can really work for peace, but a just peace, because there won't be any peace without the freedom of the Palestinian people.
And what do you believe was behind that short social media clip that people saw of the Israeli minister Ben-Gvir confronting your father?
I think it was an attempt to brag about the fact that he's, you know, torturing Palestinian detainees. He wanted to send a message to the Palestinian people that if I can humiliate your leader, I'm sending a message that I can humiliate you all, which is a shame. And honestly, it's a shame on Western governments who did not even condemn that. It's a clear violation of international law. What's happening to my father? He's a parliamentarian. He's someone who is widely respected and recognized nationally and internationally. You know, by Nelson Mandela himself said that what's happening with Marwan Barghouti is exactly as what happened with me. He understood it the same year that he was imprisoned.
And that's why you're here, is it? To put pressure on the Irish government to support him and to support your family?
Yes, but, you know, to be fair, when I come to Ireland, it's way easier to campaign for my father, for Palestine in general. The people understand it, the people get it. They know what it means to, you know, the term political prisoners. They know colonialism and what it does to the country. That's why it's easier to operate, let's say, in Ireland than other places. But yeah, that's exactly why I'm here. I can't understand why Western governments are still not, you know, condemning what's happening to him and calling for his release. Because what will the recognition of the Palestinian state mean if they're not willing to take the extra steps to actually apply the two-state solution, which they support, on the ground?
You have mentioned October 7th in that your father's life has become more difficult since October 7th, 2023. How do you feel about that event?
You know, I always say if there's anything I could do to bring back the Palestinian children that have been killed, I would. We would never condone any targeting of civilians, regardless who they are, where they are. And this has been my father's policy always. He's been on the record saying that, you know, targeting civilians is forbidden. We want to abide by international law. He's always proud that he bases all of his work on international law. So yes, that's my opinion.
But so you condemn the Hamas attack of October 7th?
You know,
of
this condemn game is I don't play that.
But I think it's really important for people to understand where you're coming from, because innocent people were killed.
Of course,
people were
taken hostage. I don't condone that. I would never justify that. But at the same time, this condemning our resistance without looking at the root cause of that. You're talking about an open-air prison. You're talking about an occupied people. And this way of drawing the line between the good and bad people, if we condemn our resistance or not, is not the right approach, in my opinion. The right approach is to look at the root cause of why we resist in the first place as Palestinians. We don't want to resist. We want to live in peace. We want to live in freedom. But we don't have our freedom. That's why we resist. So the question is not, you know, why do you resist like this, or why do you use these tools of resistance? The question should be, what's the root cause of that resistance? What's the reason that we resist in the first place? And it's the illegal occupation, the apartheid system that we live under.
But the situation is so much worse now, isn't it, for all Palestinians as a result of 2023?
No, it's a result of the occupation. It's a result of the Israeli government. It's a result that we're dealing with a fascist government right now. It's a result that of the dehumanization and the racism of the West against the Palestinian people, because if that was happening to any other nation, I don't think there would be this silence, this complicity. And I think that it's very important, because right now we're dealing with settler terrorism in the West Bank. We're dealing with the genocide in Gaza. We're dealing with the discrimination against Palestinians who live inside Israel. So Palestinians, we all suffer in our own way.
And I understand your position on this. Your father always believed, didn't he, in a two-state solution. Does he still?
I mean, of course, like, that's been his political vision always, the coexistence. But he's always said, a just peace without the freedom of the Palestinian people, there's no way we can have peace mm-hmm. while we're under apartheid. I think he's, you know, not delusional, of course. He's a very well-educated politician. He has a PhD in political science, embodies the Palestinian struggle, understands it like no other person does. And he understands that the Israeli government is now attempting to kill the idea of the Palestinian state and to kill the two-state solution. And on the ground, like, if you go and see the West Bank, it's just like, you know, a bunch of ghettos. We don't have like an actual...
This is where you live.
...authority. Yes, this is where I live, and we don't have actual authority. Like, if an Israeli 19-year-old Israeli soldier decides that he wants to close a city, he will close it right away. There's no one who can talk to him or any accountability. And I think this is very important because, yes, my father does support the two-state solution. But I think what's more important is ending the apartheid and ending the Israeli occupation, because we can't talk about like the end solution. If it's one state, two state, whatever. But at the same time, the Palestinian freedom and living with dignity, living in our own land, our ancestors' land, is the most important question and the most important objective that we all go after.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe in your heart that he will be released at some point?
Yes, I have no doubt. I've always dreamt of the day that I will hug my father and I will do whatever it takes. And, you know, the most important person in our family, according to my father, is my mother. She's the one who founded the campaign to release him. She's the one who fought for Palestinian political prisoners overall. And, you know, seeing her being driven by her amazing efforts for his release is what drives me. And I had no doubt in my mind that we will be reunited with my father in Palestine. We will get back to our home. He will meet his 6 grandchildren that he's never met before. And to compensate to my mother, when he promised her more than 40 years ago that once Palestine is free, I promise you that we will live a normal life. And that's exactly what we're working for.
Mm-hmm. Well, Arab, thank you very much for coming in to see us. That is Arab Barghouti, who is son of, as I said, one of the most, if not the most prominent Palestinian prisoners in Israel, Marwan Barghouti.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.